Okay, from in the stealth group from now on, we're going to concentrate on finishing. Before we get back to the burnt offering, we have to study the leprosy and the scapegoat. No, we haven't even started on leprosy. We just barely. You just got one kind of the leprosy of the forehead, which was rebellion.
We've not yet begun.
What? What do you say?
You don't want to know.
I was pretty good, actually.
Okay, Leviticus.
Leviticus
13. What we're going to do is we're going to get back to studying. We need to get. See what I have to put up with?
Sure do.
Leviticus
13. Let me say a couple things before. Leprosy, we studied one kind of leprosy, the leprosy of the forehead, which was the most severe kind. And for the leprosy of the forehead, which was rebellion, as its spiritual type, you were forever alone. Now, as we talked about, the whole human race in the spirit has leprosy because they're forever alone. Now we're going to get down into the leprosy of Israel. Now, almost all in the scripture, in the Talmud, the leprosy of Israel is caused by one, it's different. I mean, the leprosy of the forehead is by rebellion. The other leprosy in the body is caused by slander.
Slander?
Slander. Now, what does slander mean?
Talking ugly about
somebody. That's
fucking Gary.
That's slander, what he just did.
What's the penalty?
He's got
death. His
leprosy.
Denise just hit me. I was
that's your leprosy.
But the essence of leprosy, number one, it's impossible to have leprosy outside of the land of Israel by the law. And it's impossible to have leprosy in Jerusalem.
Outside the land? It's impossible to have outside the land of Israel?
It's impossible to have leprosy outside of the land of Israel under the law. And it's impossible to have leprosy in Jerusalem. You understand?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, everything in the scriptures is a doubling. Do you remember that? Doubling meaning it's, Job says, everything in the scriptures is a doubling. It means there's another meaning other than what it's obvious. The doubling is that it's a metaphor for something. Therefore, the idea then that leprosy can only be suffered by Israelites, and it can only be suffered in the land, and it cannot be suffered in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, there's no leprosy. Outside of the land of Israel, doesn't matter, they're dead anyway. You're dead anyway. In the land, in the spiritual type, in you, the only time that leprosy is possible is between the border. Therefore, the only time leprosy is impossible is for the young man position. It's not possible in the spirit for the child to have leprosy or for the adolescent to have leprosy. It's only possible for the young man to have leprosy. That's why we haven't studied it until now in stealth group. Yeah. What?
There weren't any young men. Oh.
It's true. There weren't any young women. I mean, there weren't any. You were all adolescents. You remember? For Jim's sake, every man is born in Egypt, which is the world. you try to go to the best of the land of Goshen, and you're a spiritual infant. When you cross through in baptism, you cross the Red Sea, then you become a spiritual adolescent. And you run around not knowing what the hell's going on. There are no options. When finally you cross into the land, then you become the spiritual young man. When you enter Jerusalem, you become the spiritual father. All of the scriptures are written to those four positions, including leprosy. You can't have leprosy as an adult, as a technon or a little child. You can't have leprosy as an adolescent, and you can't have leprosy as a father. You can only have leprosy in the spirit as a young man. Understand?
So
therefore,
why only as a young man?
Because that's the only time because you can't have leprosy outside of the land of Israel, and you by the law, and you can't have it in Jerusalem. So it's axiomatic. You got it. You understand? We're not going to go any further unless you understand this.
Would they kick them out if they have it, or they just can't get it, or what?
I mean, they kick them out if they're in another place.
Yeah.
From the law, it's not leprosy. It could be something else.
You call it something else.
Could be.
It's not really an issue.
Noxema or whatever that is.
Eczema.
The painful itch of seborrhea, psoriasis. Heartbreaker, psoriasis.
You need Cruex.
But you got to hear, we're talking spiritual things. Now you've got to compare spiritual to spiritual. Otherwise, this stuff is going to sound like nothing.
Yeah, it's like there's a bar mitzvah or something that takes place in the spirit between, at some point, you know, where the young man becomes then a child of the law, and he's responsible for stuff that prior to that was just...
He's not responsible for.
Yeah.
Got it? Now, you understand what it means to compare spiritual things to spiritual things. Most of your problems in your search the Bible is that you're trying to compare spiritual things to natural. That's why you don't understand. It's like comparing apples and oranges. That's why all these stupid revisions of the Bible exist, because they try to compare spiritual things to natural, and they can't be done, so then they start to make the spiritual thing, or the scripture, put it in natural terms. Basic stuff. Okay. Now, the purification process is what we're talking about. We cannot go any further. All we've done in studying the offerings is to study trespass and sin. The trespass is what you do. The sin offering is for what you are. Sin. Now we're ready to begin the study of the burnt offering or the acceptance offerings. But you can't study the acceptance offerings until you understand the water or the purifications. There are three great sacrifices which form a separate group. They were not done in the temple. The scapegoat was to remove the concept of conscience and guilt. You understand? The red heifer, which was to take away the defilement of death, and the living birds, which were the sparrows that were dipped in water and let loose, to take away leprosy or the living death. Now, as long as you're leprous or have the defilement of death, or you still have a personal guilt, you cannot possibly apprehend or understand the burnt offerings. You can't see that aspect of the work of Christ. Now we're talking about postgraduate stuff here in the Spirit. It's simple as simple. But if guilt remains in you, if you still believe in your heart that you've touched the unclean thing, and if there's a part of you that's living death, i.e. leprous, you can't apprehend these offerings. That's where we stand. Does everybody understand? Now, the idea of the offerings, of the offerings of purification, all three of them were offered off outside the camp. So that's why in Paul, in the letter to Hebrews, said, we bear his reproach outside the camp. Because you have to experience these waters of purification in order to enter into the gate. I'm talking to air. I feel it in my bones. What's going on?
Not
the easy stuff to get a hold of.
Really?
You gotta
keep a lot of things.
I hate to talk to air. I hate it.
Must be the niche she's blonde. Sorry.
A few select comments for that, huh?
Okay, go to Hebrews. Shit. Get it?
Yeah, that's how you say it. In the New Testament.
Rutledge. Rutledge is the one that does it. That's the first time I've ever done that.
I know, but you got the Rutledge.
I know. So every once in a while he has a good idea.
The Rutledge, you know.
Hebrews 12. I was almost right.
12:13.
No, I was right. Hebrews 12.
He's back and got another chapter. Oh, I thought I was out of range.
You're never out of range.
Well, he's got a new thing now with a rubber band.
Freddy Krueger.
He's gonna get a
paint pistol. No, a pistol with ammonia in it.
Yeah. Wake up.
All. Get it in your head right now. Forever. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Yeah.
Get that in your head. You got it? You got an anchor?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're perfect, then anything that happens to you that you perceive as negative can't be punishment. It has to be chastisement. Chastisement simply means you pushing against the limits to see clearly the bounds of your habitation. Chastisement. Okay, Hebrews 12. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now what the hell does that mean? Does that mean you're supposed to cut yourself? We've only studied this 43 times in this group. Sloth has overtaken us. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It means you have not yet resisted unto the point of seeing the blood.
Well, what does it mean to resist?
What do you think it means? What is sin? What is it? No, forget all of... I don't want any spiritual answers. I don't want any spiritual liturgies or little cliches. What's troubling you?
To me right now, sin is
withdrawing from somebody or...
Okay, whatever it is that's troubling you, forget anything for right now. Whatever, I don't want all your little religious cliches and liturgies. Whatever it is that's troubling you, you have not yet resisted. Resisted meaning...
continued or persevered.
What does that mean, like resist withdrawing?
No. It doesn't mean withdraw. It means to push against it. You have not pushed against that phenomena. Whatever it is, you've not pushed it, pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed until you see the blood.
It's like being a friend of the unrighteous man.
You said something religious again.
I know.
What happens to you the moment you are confronted with an issue for which there is guilt? Hide. Okay. Hiding is the opposite of resisting. Hiding is the opposite of embracing. So you push, rather than hide, you open it up and push it to the point. I either resist here is probably a bad translation, but it means push to the point. Push, 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 push. Push to the point that you see the blood. And the promise is that you will see the blood in every arena. Now you think there is an, every one of you, think that there are areas and arenas in your life where God has forsaken. The secret areas of your heart. As it's, you know, in the religious world, they call it about your secret sins. But you, your response to it is to hide, because you believe that God has forsaken you there and there is no power. What you're saying is the opposite of that. And by the way, the moment you do that, when you do that, then you have to, you'll automatically end up with leprosy. Because you will slander your brother because you're guilty of what you're going to slander him over. Am I communicating?
Yep.
So the, there, I guarantee you, there is no place in your life where he has forsaken you. There is no place in your life that isn't covered by the blood. You have not yet resisted or pushed against unto blood striving against that deal. Communicate? Everybody understand now? A little bit? Okay, maybe you'll understand better. Now, and the reason what that thing is going to happen now is God's going to redefine that little thingy.
What thingy?
The thingy that you feel a lot uptight about. You know, I know each one of you well enough, except for Jim, to know what that little thingy is. Some of you have a whole bunch of them, several. Little octopuses.
Make one confession.
You never hear the end of it.
What?
You never hear the end of it.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You faint in your minds. To faint means to quit. You quit at the very moment you believe he has forsaken you. And that point is the horizon of the battle. And it's time to enjoin that battle.
Is that like when Jesus on the cross said, "Noli, noli, sabachthani, why have you forsaken me?"
Amen. First of all, that's the first requirement. That you admit that you think he has forsaken you. Now that's a biggie. Because the moment you admit that he has forsaken you in a particular area, your mind will automatically run with it and you will be convicted of unbelief. I.e., you don't believe any of it.
Now go right through that again.
The moment that you admit to yourself, that's not good enough. The moment that you admit publicly that you believe there's an area of your life where God has forsaken you, then what will happen, your own worst fear will come upon you. You will automatically then, the next instant, believe that he has forsaken you in all areas. And that's what you run from. Mm-hmm. That's what you try to avoid. That's why you hustle yourself day and night. Yeah. Now, that thing, that arena, that sin, that evil, that whatever it is in you that you believe is so terrible that you have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin, you have become wearied and you fainted or quit in your minds, God is now going to redefine. If you have ears to hear, listen. We just talked about you have not yet resisted unto blood striving. How in the hell did we get from leprosy to this? I'm supposed to be talking about leprosy.
This is pre-leprosy.
Remedial leprosy. Okay.
You're the one who's in charge, why are you asking us?
I'm not in charge.
Barbara's in charge.
You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. So now we're automatically, something new has just taken place. Paul wrote this, which I believe he did, he just redefined sin, where you think is sin, or the thing that you think where you've been forsaken. He's now redefined it as chastening. Getting a spanking. Well, that's pretty wild. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Now, how do you despise it? You despise it by thinking it's something else. I want you to understand. No evil can befall you. It's impossible. The sin of the world has been taken away. It's impossible for him to have forsaken you in any arena. Why then do you continue to believe there are areas that you've been forsaken in? It's the last foothold of the enemy, the independent self. Mm-hmm. Peace?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint or quit when thou art rebuked of him. Now how in the hell are you rebuked of him? God doesn't come down and say, Harry,
you have screwed up.
He screwed up.
Instead, oh, it says,
how are you rebuked of him? You're rebuked of him by one agency and one agency alone, not me. You're rebuked of him by the Holy Spirit. How are you rebuked of him by the Holy Spirit?
Parts.
Huh?
He draws back from me and you're left with that void.
You're rebuked of him by the Holy Spirit when you feel bad. When you feel anything that you perceive as negative, is the Holy Spirit rebuking you? Not punishing you, but you take it and you despise the chastening by saying, oh shit, I fucked up, or it's my fault, or I did this, or I need to do this. All you ever have to do in the midst of chastening is seeing it, is see it's from the Father for his purpose, and the purpose of the chastening is gone. The Holy Spirit is come. And Jesus said he has come, and when he's doing three things, and three things only. He's convicting the world of sin. Of sin because I masturbate. Of sin because I got drunk. Of sin because I want to kill my mother. Of sin because I killed 6 million Jews. Of sin because... What's the worst thing you can think of? No. It says, he said, of sin only because you believe not on me. Now get that in your head. Therefore, the thing that you are rebuking yourself over isn't sin, it's unbelief. Now again, the tie-in here is that leprosy, other than the forehead, is, well, it's the same thing, but the slander of the leprosy of the forehead is when you slander God. You don't want to do that. And you slander God by thinking you're an independent entity. The leprosy of the body is when you is caused by the slander of others. Now, there's one reason that you can slander, and that is because you will make yourself separate, or think that you're separate from.
From others.
From, yeah. And in that separation, you slander by making yourself better than they are, so that your hidden phenomenon isn't so bad. So you have some basis of comparison. You're not the chief of sinners. There's one that's more than you.
See, this is why, in the beginning, this is why I don't understand why you couldn't have leprosy in the wilderness. It seems like once you leave Egypt and God's dealing with you as a people, then it seems like it would be...
It's just not... You're not a child of the law, so it's impossible. Don't worry about it. Trust me on it. Trust the Talmud, it's not me. For considering, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, therefore, the suffering that you're experiencing isn't a strange thing. It's the natural. It's the common. It's the trial of faith. But now it's seen from a different light, a different metaphor. Now it's seen not simply as the testing or the assaying of gold. It's now seen in relationship to leprosy. And it's seen in relationship to you vis-a-vis others. My son, despise thou not thou the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now the reason is, remember it said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now it's not just talking about the act of the cross. It's talking about his entire life. His entire life, from the point of his baptism, which manifest or represented... In his case, it represented the young man. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the point of his baptism, well, at the point Christ became a child of the law when he was bar mitzvah. There wasn't a formal bar mitzvah ceremony in that time. He was a child of the law, but he was not yet, he was still under the covering of his, what?
That's the time from Sinai to Jordan.
Right. Okay. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, to be without chastisement doesn't mean that you're without chastisement. It means that you don't remain in the position of the chastisement.
Because you see it as something besides chastisement.
You see it as something as chastisement, and therefore you attempt to do something about it. It's at this horizon, at this juncture, that the world will call you a fool. Because you will have in your capacity the power or the ability to leave the chastisement.
And you refuse to let love.
And you refuse to leave the chastisement because, not because you can if you want to. I mean, I'm always telling you to follow your impulse. But love overpowers that is the flee instinct, the flight instinct, and you stay. Now, I can only talk about this, I mean, in my own experience, 100 times, but I can remember that, you know, I have the capacity, or I've had the capacity, to make a great deal of money quickly. I mean, I did it all my life. I was at a position where I literally had no money. I couldn't even eat. Not just once, bunches of times. And I couldn't go back and lean on my own arm of understanding. I had to endure that chastening. Now, there are other arenas in your life. I can't tell you how important it is that you say, Father, I am not going to lean on my own arm of understanding in this matter. It's now don't give me, some of you may need money and say, okay, now this is a how-to, therefore I'm not going to do it. Well, you'll probably die. That's not the issue. The issue is a private one, because he's dealing with you in an arena where you must bear your own burden. I can't bear your burden. And the way in which my burden was born in me isn't exactly the same as it'll be born in you. So there's no how-tos on it. But you know, you'll know when that horizon is clear in your life. Okay, somehow a mystery takes place in you, and love overpowers. And you say, I'm not going to leave this position. I'm not going to try to solve it by my own devices. I'm going to stay here until I cease the blood.
This just happened to me. Where night before last, I lay down on my bed and I left. I mean, I was so upset. I was so angry. I just said, to hell with it. I'm gone. Tomorrow, I'm leaving. And I mean physically leaving.
This is when you were mad at me?
This is when I was mad at you.
I still don't know why.
For absolutely no reason.
Okay.
No valid reason. But it was so real. I mean, I've gone. And yesterday, I was still furious with you, and there just wasn't the opportunity to talk. I wanted to talk to you alone, and there were people and people and people. And then you got sick yesterday. And when you got sick, somehow the anger started to melt. It was like,
so it's your fault.
It probably is, yeah. It probably is. And it continued last night, but somehow when you got sick and you were weak, I knew I couldn't leave. And I knew I couldn't throw the stuff on you that I wanted to throw on you. And this morning, in a long conversation with Buck, somehow it just cracked, the light came through, and it was like I could see what was going on, why it was going on, what had caused it. It didn't have anything to do with you, it didn't have anything to do with being angry with you, but it was amazing because this thing happened. I just when you got sick, I knew I couldn't leave.
So now, the scripture, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now this starts to cut you a little bit. Because when you're dealing with something, when there's an arena, and you, all this time, have fled, rather than standing in it. Well, you know, to be called a bastard by God isn't too swift of an idea. I mean, okay, now let's watch. We haven't even gotten to... What time is it?
8 o'clock.
12 minutes to 9.
8 o'clock.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence or respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure or their own understanding, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know what the word chastening means, a direct translation in the Greek? It's the direct translation of the word means to inflict pain. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. But afterward it yieldeth that peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, this is the point of attack in each one of you. You can't get by with leaving it any longer or fleeing from it in your mind. You can't get by with going down to Egypt for it. Now for some of you, the arena is sex. For some of you, the arena is money. For some of you, the arena is illness. Whatever it is, I promise you, if you stand, and endure the chastening, don't leave, don't flee in your mind, that it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I'm not talking about judging whether something is good or evil, or good, or up or down, or bad or right or wrong. It has nothing to do with this equation. All right. Therefore, or wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Now, again, there's an interesting point in the scriptures. Some of you may remember this. There was only one time the lifting of the hands wasn't some little thing they did in charismatic churches. When somebody said, okay, everybody raise your hands and praise God. This is a tech, the lifting of the hands was done only once in the year.
Wave off.
Huh?
The wave off?
No. It was done once when the gates of the temple were closed. Remember we studied this last year. You got a lot of...
Feeble knees were from the fasting on Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah. The feeble knees were from the fasting. Okay. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, to fail of the grace means that you have not let the grace be manifest in that arena of your life. You frustrated the grace of God, as it said in the letter. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now the root of bitterness is the root of the slander, and the defiling is the defiling there of leprosy.
What's slander? Did I miss something?
Yeah, the leprosy of the forehead is caused by rebellion. Remember the censor, but which is really slander against God. The leprosy of the rest of the body was caused by slander of your brethren. You got this now? Do you see the tie-in? Let me read it again. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You're defiled by the ways of the water. You know, that's, well, you remember, the touching of the dead body, by the leprosy, those are the defiling. When it's touch not the unclean thing, isn't what, I mean, it's touching these things that we're talking about that require the waters of purification. All right. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through the heart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Okay, now there, that's the Mount Sinai in the wilderness. You are not come unto the visible Mount Sinai. So therefore you don't have any excuse to retain the arena where you think God has forsaken you. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the light, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I mean, this, if nothing else, would destroy the Hal Lindsey theology. We are come now, here, tonight, unto the heavenly Jerusalem. We don't need any Israel to be politicized in the Middle East. to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, made perfect. Now again, the word perfect, made perfect, means made tested, completely tested, teleos. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, and speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse him not that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now that's all the predicate for the following. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, and then the next time what we've studied. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the tie-in to all of this is that all of the offerings of purification, which include the scapegoat, the leper, the birds, the ashes, the red heifer, all are offered without the camp. And by definition then, if you're in a state of slander, i.e. leprosy, you are already without the camp, without the gate. The way, as we continue on this path, the way gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. So that no act of unlove or unjoy, if you will, is acceptable. Yeah. One of the things that I hope we see is that what we just read, the promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, the Lord is my helper, I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And we always make that into being some big, you know, okay, if I were a crusader, then that would be true and I wouldn't fear this. But that's not it. It's the fears and the little things, like exactly what you're experiencing. But the process that we go through to reach the promise, fully tested, isn't to isn't against you. It's simply to reveal, and the preaching automatically will do it. It's to reveal those things that are already there, which simply can be ignored or neglected. And it's not, again, let me do this. We go through this little process, right? We're in the world and we hope God exists. And we go through here in the wilderness and we believe in God or in Jesus. And we enter here, and as soon as we cross that border, it's no longer Christ in us, it's Christ as us. That's a biggie. That means that you can never be separate again. You can never be worrying about whether you're controlling again. You can never be worried about whether you're rebelling again. Do you understand me?
Yeah, I do.
But then the mystery really takes place when we enter Jerusalem, because when the Father position, then it's no longer, it's Christ as you. And that really will knock your socks off. And that's what this whole Bible is about. And now the position of Christ as you, meaning you're complete. You cannot do anything against the truth. You can't control or not control. You can't... No matter how weird it sounds, you can't make a mistake. Can you believe that just a little bit? I mean, you pissed me off, but that isn't a mistake.
That's definitely not a mistake, right? Yeah. Though it can't have consequences.
But all that's happening back to simplistics. But all that's happening is you're seeing who you are.
Whenever we start talking about this stuff, like going to Egypt to get stuff, I get this little fear attack of my own. And I always think, well, I don't know if it's bogus to push it to these, ridiculous points, but, I'm always thinking, well, what's the right thing to do now? Not what's set before me. But I start thinking about, should we just go around and not have any technology, and where, like John the Baptist, he did pretty well with little or no technology to lean on, even in his own day. I mean, is that the...
Well, it comes down to the net cutting. Should I quit my job? Because my job's in Egypt?
Yeah, or walk instead of riding my car because it's made by the
show you.
Military industrial complex. people don't pay their taxes.
Worse yet, destroy my VCR.
Yeah, right. All that kind of stuff.
Not much I can do.
Right.
Woe to the rebellious children.
Doctor, that's what I'm thinking about as well.
Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel or seek advice, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and that have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Now, Jesus gave us a clue, and Paul gave us many, that this doesn't mean monasticism.
Just by walking through Samaria.
It doesn't mean that you go out and live in a mountain somewhere. It means that you speak with regard to I can't judge for you where this horizon is. Like in John's case. I mean, to me, if John said tomorrow he was going to quit his job at the Baptist Standard and trust, I'd say you're a damn fool.
I just remembered something. I remembered what I think about this. Because doesn't it come down to, like what we talked about tonight about chastening, and it's when you don't recognize your father. In other words, you're a bastard when you don't see the hand of God. It's like if Johnny came up and I swatted him on the backside and he, you know, phoned the police and said some man had hit him, you know. I mean, it would be, you know, this kid is not my kid because he doesn't recognize me in it. And it's like if you recognize the hand of God, not only in everything, then you can't go to Egypt because Egypt doesn't exist as a thing. I mean, God is...
The whole world.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to fear. I forgot. Let's let us in there.
But do you understand that Egypt is only in your mind?
You mean we can't?
I had a fear attack. I
can't go back there.
Well, you can go to Egypt if you're here. It's in your mind.
What are you looking at?
Who asked not
it's
his
your confidence.
Right. Auto-exhortation.
Let me show you something. Go to Galatians 4. What time is it?
8 o'clock.
Yeah. 9:15.
It's like I'm supposed to meet with Bloom.
A heretic?
I'm supposed to meet with a heretic.
Slander.
But it was John Slander.
Right. You
repeated
it.
Now you're gone. I'm just thinking.
Galatians 4. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. 4:21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. Now, do y'all understand what it means to be desire to be under the law?
Oh yeah.
Okay. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law, and which is the holy place, gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And it goes on and now continues, and it says, then we should cast out the bondwoman and her son. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Who said, huh?
He said, no, because he jerks up here in French.
Do you want... All of the world, all of time and space, including the holiest of places, another place in the scriptures it calls Jerusalem, Sodom and Gomorrah. Here it calls Mount Sinai, you know, the place where you go in under the tent and commit fornication. All the world and everything in the world is either all world or all spirit. Now, that is eternally true. The mind is where it's all spirit to us. You are still in the process of seeing that it's all spirit. So you go through these anxiety problems. And the anxiety attacks is where that's tested. So that you can see to the pure in heart, all things are pure. That by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That now you are complete in him. And all of the other promises. The promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. The only place where there is a battlefield is the mind. Your mind invented Egypt. Egypt died at the cross. Well, we have a custom that we sometimes keep, if I remember it, and that's if there's a new person here. You're new to this group, not new to bananas, but you say, if you have anything to say, say on.
Well, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen.
That's good. That's good.
I've never seen anything like this in my life, but I like it. I mean, I've been running around my whole life trying to figure out things, and
how long has that life been?
I mean, what are you? I'm 19.
You're
18?
19.
A long time. That's most of the people. A lot of the people here were your age or younger when they first came.
Except for me.
Carrie was
emotionally, some were not that old.
And still.
He's been getting the tapes, especially the Abraham series, and so he's not unfamiliar with stuff.
Are you a student someplace?
I'm a student at Vanderbilt.
Majoring in
political science.
Political science.
Mm-hmm. He had a lot to talk to Doug about. He's a
college student. Yeah, but he went to UTB.
Yeah.
Didn't Bloom go to Vanderbilt?
Bloom was a...
I wonder more of your reaction. I mean, you got me intrigued with this. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
What does that mean?
What's so strange?
I thought it was pretty obvious.
It's not what I expected. I mean, it's I've always had this vision kind of that when I'm going to find it, you know, I'm going to find, you know, this which is the truth, you know, and everything's going to be a bowl of cherries and it's going to be wonderful and perfect or something. And I'm not saying that, you know, this group isn't perfect or whatever, I'm just saying.
It's not a bowl of cherries. Slander of cherries. Are you saying it's the pips?
It's just that I'm finally seeing what I've been looking for, and it's nothing like I ever expected it to be. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Join the club. Yeah. Join the club.
You're
good to have
Thursday,
you.
Yeah. Thank
you. You have family stuff Thursday?
I have family stuff Thursday. Oh,
we meet tomorrow night and Saturday.
Are you just in town for the holidays?
Yeah.
That's
right.
No, I was not.
But, you know, you might give some of the people your address, so there may be some that will correspond and stuff.
Okay.
You appear a lot more intelligent in person than you do over the phone.
Thank you.
I think
he's going to reverse the compliment.
hey, no prep in the newies.
Okay, take it, big guy.